Season 2, Episode 21, The Bank Dick. It opens up with Sipowicz walking through a hospital with a nurse asking about a rape kit because there's a string of rapes going on and they want to make sure that this fits the same SO, mm-hmm. the same MO, so that they can make sure to investigate it like they are with the others.
Mm-hmm.
The woman is giving her testimony about what's going on. I guess it's not a testimony, it's just the story. And
she's giving her account.
Her account of what occurred, and she sees Russell, and Russell kind of bends in a little bit, and she says, "Have you been drinking?"
And pisses her off a little bit. She gets a little annoyed with the question.
She gets a little standoffish.
Yeah, she gets a little like, no?
Like, what do you mean? Drinking? The very thought, Kyle.
I mean, I smell like the inside of a bottle?
Ridiculous. And then that actually gets Sipowicz's ears up, because you can even see in other scenes from earlier episodes, he's a little suspicious of Russell.
Well, the end of the episode before that.
She walks by him. 19
or
20? 20.
We're on 20.
21. We're on 21.
We're on 21. The end of episode 20, she walks by him after drinking in the bathroom, and like they're really close proximity, and I feel as a character choice, he made it that he could smell her breath. Or, like, smell something, and he kind of was like, this feels like what I used to do type situation.
The woman explains that the man caught her at an ATM, got into the car with her, took her somewhere, and raped her, and then went into a different car and left.
And left, yeah.
At the end of it, Russell even tagged Sipowicz with, oh, she thought I was drinking.
Yeah, she kind of she brought it up. That's what people who are guilty do. They bring it up to kind of, like, to make they like want to reassure themselves, so they'll bring it up and be like, "Oh, that was weird, wasn't it?
That wasn't me."
Yeah.
And Sipowicz says, "I don't know. She seemed like she has it put
her
together.
Wits about her, yeah.
Kind of giving her the I don't believe you to Russell."
Yeah.
That was the opening to the NYPD Blue episode, The Bank Dick, Season 2, Episode 21. This is NYPD Blue Balls. Kyle hates the intro.
Because I can't hear it.
That's true, you can't hear it. But if we were to do this while you were talking over the internet, you wouldn't be able to hear it either.
True.
Anyway, I'm Kirk, and the other voice is Kyle, and we're going to be talking about every single episode of the NYPD Blue show, until, of course, the world explodes.
Which seems like could be at any moment.
So let's talk about NYPD Blue. Simone comes in to talk to Sipowicz and ask him about the case. And Simone basically asks, so another rape? And Sipowicz, before he even finishes, says, yeah, it's the same scum. Mm-hmm. It's the same guy. Same MO, same deal. And Simone asks about Russell. And Sipowicz avoids it.
Yeah. Well, he can tell that there's something going on. Like, he can tell Andy's a little annoyed about something from what happened. That at the hospital. And so Simone, like you said earlier, I think when we were watching it, he's able to pick up on what he's doing, on his like emotions and stuff, and I think he can feel something's not right.
This episode really layers every story on top of each other as we go, mm-hmm. so it's going to be kind of, I'm just going to go forward with this storyline. Sipowicz and Simone kind of do this thing where they can tell when each other is lying.
Yeah.
So Simone initially picks up that Andy Sipowicz, has some type of issue with Russell, but he doesn't know what it is.
Yeah.
So then Simone comes out and goes, so what did Russell do wrong?
And that bugs, and I think a little bit of it bugs Simone, because Andy's his partner, and he wants Andy to like the person that he likes.
Because he's boning her.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's more, I mean, he is boning her, but I think it's more than just, like, boning.
It's more than boning?
Yeah, I think he really likes her a lot, but, yeah, I think he wants to make, he wants them both to like each other.
Sipowicz even says, do you want to talk about this now? Because they're in the middle of this investigation, yeah. which we'll get into, of multiple rapes. But he's like, do you want to get into this now? And Simone says, yeah, and he says, she drinks. And that's how he says it.
Mm-hmm.
Very matter-of-factly. She drinks. And Simone said, what are you talking about? He's like, she showed up drunk? And he says, half-bagged.
Yeah.
And Simone goes, well, maybe she had a little bit of wine with dinner. And the way Sipowicz says, yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Simone knows that Sipowicz ain't playing around.
Yeah, so yeah, he gives the kind of answer that's like, he's like, fine, if that's what you think, if you're not going to listen to what I'm saying, okay, yeah, that's it, you're right. Like, let's move on then if you don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, which, I think it kind of plays to, it tells you how good of a guy Sipowicz is, kind of. Because Sipowicz is like, hey, like, we got work to do. We're going to be friends no matter what with this situation. We're partners.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just move past it.
Yeah.
So Simone later just asked Russell, Sipowicz said that you were a little drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, well, isn't Sipowicz in the program? All those people think people are drunk.
Yeah, she basically goes, wasn't Andy a drunk? And then she's like, he's getting saved, so now he thinks everyone's a drunk. Kind of, like, that's what her motto is.
And, yeah, that's kind of rude.
Yeah, very rude.
Especially because, like, it's Sipowicz.
But that's the response of someone who is a drunk. Because instead of being like, oh, you know, maybe I do drink a little bit too much every now and then, her response is, fuck that guy. I'm not drinking. He has a problem, not me.
And it's also, it's kind of forgivable only because she's only been around so long, she doesn't know Sipowicz.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, Sipowicz seems, like, I feel like Sipowicz is the guy at work that he may not get all the best marks, and he may not be on everybody's good side, but he's not going to bullshit you.
Yeah, he doesn't fuck around. He's straight up with everybody. He's straight up with the person, with his boss. He's straight up with the person, the janitors. Like, he's just like, he's Sipowicz to everybody. He's never like a different Sipowicz to anybody. You know what I mean?
He never shows up.
Like, it was funny, last episode we talked about Friends, and I just saw the episode where Chandler has his work laugh.
Uh-huh.
And that reminded me kind of, like, Sipowicz doesn't have a work laugh.
Sipowicz is Sipowicz
with his boss at home, when he's gone at the bar, and when he's drunk, he's always Sipowicz. It doesn't matter what it is.
I mean, we talk about it next episode because Sipowicz is about to get married. He shows up to work the day he's going to get married.
Yeah.
And they ask him, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm putting in a shift.
Yeah. He goes, I don't get married until tonight.
And when, like, it's his bachelor party, he visits Costas' uncle, who's too sick to go to the wedding. And he comes back to the station house, and they're like, what are you doing? The bachelor party's in, like, 20 minutes. He's like, yeah, exactly, I came back to work. We have work to do.
I'll go over there in 20 minutes.
Like, I guess it's just politics. Like, Sipowicz isn't a dude that's going to get involved with stupid shit.
Yeah.
That's why he becomes the unflinching rock to the storyline of, hey, Russell's a drinker.
But he is also a representation of that era. Not the era the show is in, but the era that he was born in. Because those, I feel like that era of Americans, like our dad and like his grandparents, or our grandparents and our dad, that kind of era, it's all about, like, you got to work hard and you've got to support your family and you got to support yourself. And a man's really nothing without a job. And when you have that job, you need to do the best you can at it. And so he kind of promotes that era of, like, I'm a man. Like, I have 20 minutes, I'm not going home. I have to finish my last 20 minutes, you know? Like, he has that kind of attitude.
He also has a very, he's very bent on doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if the case isn't done, in this case, which we'll talk about next, this case involves multiple rapes.
Yeah.
And Simone and Sipowicz are working it, and Sipowicz gets a little, we'll talk about exactly who. He gets a little punchy, almost, with a guy, and brings up the Sylvia story, and says, I have a very close friend of mine who was raped by some scum.
Well, she's pregnant now, she can't have kids and shit.
Well, that was a different person. He mentioned, that was one of the victims of this rapist. But before he starts that, he says, you know, I have a good close friend who was raped, and I'm going to take out all the anger that I couldn't take out on them, on you. They get these
but
guys.
But isn't it weird? That Sipowicz is so holier than thou, kind of, in a sense of, like, right and wrong. But he, like,
doesn't believe in God.
Bought prostitutes.
Back in the day?
Yeah. But his job is to arrest people that buy prostitutes.
No, his job is to arrest people that kill people.
True. But he works in a system, an umbrella system, where they protect the law, and the law is you're not allowed to buy anything for sex, yet he does it, and he doesn't see a problem with it.
He used to, he doesn't anymore.
But when he did it, he didn't see a problem with it, but he would look at, like, a junkie and be like, you've got a problem. But, isn't that just kind of, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I'm saying isn't that kind of funny that people, we as people think like that?
Yeah, well, people
have. It's just super interesting.
But yeah, the story is, there was a getaway car for this rapist, they caught a partial on the car and description, and they picked up the guy driving it. It's this junkie named Doug, and this pretty collected guy named Russ. And they get a picture of the rapist later. It's not one of those guys, but they figure they're using...
But they've Doug's got Russ and Doug. And Doug, I like Doug's character.
He's very good.
The guy who plays Doug, like, I like...
I wonder if he was anybody. I think
I've seen him in other things. I think he comes back in NYPD Blue, actually, as another character at some point. But I really like... That's what I think I liked most about season two, is like the development of the smaller characters. Like, they picked good actors who gave them good. They picked good actors for those characters, and again, it gave the characters life. Like, they were able to give it something that was like entertaining. Well, you don't really get that a lot in some TV shows. Sometimes the character actors are just there to like deliver lines and leave. These people actually like got to act and like be a different person and like put something into it, and that's what I liked about it.
Because like the guy Russ really didn't do much. Mm-hmm. He just like talked and then eventually was about to get beat up, so then he was like, oh, don't hurt me, man, and gave all the information he could.
Yeah,
but Doug was like a junkie.
Mm-hmm.
He actually was very broken up about what the guy was doing, so he wouldn't help him do it.
Yeah, because he ends up admitting to Sipowicz that he went one time and when it happened, and then so he's like, I'm not doing this anymore, this is not right. But he still rented the car out to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's not that broken up about it. I guess the money was good enough for him that he would keep letting it
happen. Well, it's one of those, it's one of those things where the guy is like, I can't be a party to this. Like, I know it goes on with or without my help.
Mm-hmm.
So, me being a part of it really doesn't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do I put this? Me not being a part of the actual act is better than me just giving a car and I don't know what's happening. I don't think about what's happening with my car.
But he knows what's happening with that car because he was already a part of it at one point, and he knows, like, oh, this is what they're probably going to be using the car for.
They did make him very, like, sympathetic, even though, there really is no excuse for what he did.
He feels bad. When they finally, like, pressure him, he caves like the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl. But, yeah, I don't know.
They get from him that Russ has been driving him around, and Sipowicz goes hard on Russ.
Yeah.
Basically about to beat his ass.
Yeah.
And they do
good. Because he lied to him,
too. That's another thing that Sipowicz doesn't like. Like, if you lie to him and then about something very heinous, and then he finds out you're lying, he's more pissed off than if you would have just told him in the beginning and taken your shit then. Which is super interesting. I like that.
He gets the information that it's a guy named Johnny. They go to where they think Johnny lives. It turns out to be his brother, who's a piece of shit. Running a welfare
his
scam.
His brother is a face, too. His brother is, I forget. I think I've seen him in other things, too.
You were right about the guy that plays Doug. He plays another character on NYPD Blue for more than one season, I think.
Really?
I think. Unless it's just mixing both episodes and it was two different.
That's interesting. I know he does come back, though. He doesn't come back as the same character, I don't think. You think he does come back as something different?
Yeah, he does. The guy you're speaking of, Jack Conley.
Yes.
He's been in a couple things. Harold and Kumar Go to Guantanamo.
No.
LA Confidential. Mm-mm. Payback. A bunch of different TV. He was in The Purge Anarchy, which I'm sure we all saw. He was in Fast and Furious, which I think is the fourth, not Fast and Furious, which is the confusing fourth film.
Yeah.
After Tokyo Drift.
That stupid name.
But he is running a welfare scam with a bunch of kids and like a 20, like, how old would you say that girl was?
Oh, like 18 or 19, like fresh. She's like, yeah, she's like barely 20, 21.
And this guy, like, it's clear that this guy's a piece of shit, and you don't know what he's doing that's illegal, but you just know that it's illegal.
But he also, he works for,
a roofing company?
Yeah, he runs a roofing company that's kind of shady, too, and what's his name? Sipowicz kind of catches on that, because he mentions something when he's in there. Like, he mentioned something to the guy, or Simone mentioned something to the guy about shutting down his operation, or his, like, shady operation if they need to come back in here, or something like that, I don't know. But yeah, he was running, like, a shady roofing company in there.
He gives a card to the girl. The girl eventually comes back to Sipowicz with a suitcase and says, yeah, the guy you're looking for, John, he used to rape me when I was a child. And his wife found out about it, and they just said, don't ever tell anybody.
Yeah. And then she said, he goes, like, where can I find him? And then you find out that they have, like,
A famous
sick, dying baby.
That they don't even pay attention to unless money's coming in or presents.
But Sipowicz, when he gives her the card and they walk out, he tells Simone, he's like, she has something for us.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what she's going to say something.
And that interview, I even wrote down, I was like, it's a very, very depressing, like, perfect scene where this girl seems to have no emotion as she's telling him about the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets up after he hears this horrendous, terrible story.
Yeah, everything's very monotone. And she's when she's describing shitty things.
And she says, like, I have $170-something, I'm gonna buy a bus ticket and start a life wherever I can go. And he hands her money, and she goes, what do I gotta do for this?
Yeah, you mentioned that when we watched it.
And I was like, she doesn't even live in a world where people can just be nice to her without, like, her having to do something terrible.
Yeah, well, yeah. You said something indifferent, but
what did I say?
You said basically, like, she thought she was gonna have to blow him.
It's true. I mean, yeah. The way she said, "What am I gonna have to do for that?" was very much a, so what sexual favor do I need to do to you to get this?
No, I agree. Money. With that. But, I agree with that too. I definitely agree with that.
She's never and Sipowicz says to her, are you sure you don't want to, when you get settled somewhere, you should really talk to somebody. And she goes, as long as nobody touches me, I'm fine. Which is like, that's not healthy.
Yeah, not at all. Like,
so,
you know how many people are going to be like bumping into you while you're like trying to get to wherever you're going, you know, shit like that. I don't know. That's weird.
You got to work through that stuff.
That's why I feel like he should have taken her to like a women's shelter.
You mentioned this, I think in her situation, he knew that if he took the reins on this situation, what would form is an inappropriate situation for her and him.
Mm-hmm.
Not that something bad would happen between them, not at all. But just, she has such a screwed up way of, like, her own family are monsters.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you do good things for this person without it becoming a problem? Do you know what I mean?
No, I agree with you.
I think it would have been too hard a situation for him to be like, let me take you to a women's shelter and then check in on you. I don't think it would have worked as well as, but he should have offered, I think. I agree with you there.
I mean, you can always work with different women's shelters outside of that state. Like, you don't think he knows, like, another police officer or someone else in, like, a different state that could help them with a, woman's shelter in, like, Pennsylvania, but it gets her out of New York, it gets her somewhere else. No, I'm just saying, like, I mean, it's not his job, obviously. He did his job, he got what he wanted, but just sending her on her way wasn't the smartest idea after she admits that she's been molested since she was a child. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she's been living in this, like, dictatorship, being, like, treated less than human. I don't think sending her on her own is the best idea, but...
Yeah, it's... I mean, because, yeah, we don't know. And that's a hard situation. But they use that, what was his name? Famous baby.
Baby Sean.
Baby Sean Snyder? Is it Sean Snyder?
Yeah, I think so.
Baby Sean
Snyder. Baby SS. Hitler's army.
they go to the hospital, they talk to the nurse. The nurse is like, yeah, they don't fucking show up and or care about this baby.
Mm-hmm. They never show up, only unless there's money involved, something like that, right? So they show up at the hospital and pretend to be pharmaceutical reps, but then only the wife shows up.
And they had a feeling only the wife would show up, so they said if she calls her husband, she has to use this phone so we can trace it.
Yeah, so, and then this is what we were talking about with the nurse. She, like, because I don't know if you watched her, but when they finally get her in, she's like, where's your husband? And he's like, she's not here. She's like, he's not here. And they're like, well, we need his signatures. And she was like, I was authorized to sign this, like, blah, 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 whatever. So they're like, well, we need him here, blah, blah, blah. So then if you look at the nurse, she's really nervous when she's, like, doing everything.
Yeah, she does a good job. I thought
she did a really good job, too, yeah.
Also, like, the concept of, we want to do an experimental drug on your kid, and she's like, no, I'm authorized to sign for him. It's like, I don't think you understand that people who are going to pay for and then administer experimental drugs aren't going to accept, yeah, my husband's cool with it.
Yeah, I don't think you understand, yeah, what authorization is. You know what I mean? Like,
they get that he's at a strip club.
Because they trace his call.
Because they trace the call.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to pick him up, and he is a dick because he says, hey, man, anybody I've ever had sex with, they wanted it.
Yeah.
And then he said, oh, you mean like your niece? You mean like those women? And like starts yelling at her. And what was really cool is they have that moment where Sipwitz is yelling at him from behind, like yelling into the back of his head, and Simone's yelling right in his face.
Yeah. They have like in a sandwich, like a Night at the Roxbury sandwich, and just screaming at him.
And then a stripper goes, hey, Sipwitz, you remember me?
Yeah, he's got, I got the tattoo removed.
Got the tat removed.
Which, I mean, this looks pretty good for being how early...
tattoo removal was.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably... Because I've seen early tattoo removal and some of it doesn't look good because it was, like, in the early stages. But now they're pretty good at it.
Yeah.
It just hurts like hell from what I heard.
Yeah.
Basically burn your skin off.
Yes. Slowly.
So, yeah, layer by layer.
They, I think they have enough to put him away.
Well, yeah, they have... Both of his friends ratted him out. The guy who rented the car and the guy who drove both said it was him.
So, yeah.
So, they just have to find him. That was the problem. The problem was locating him because they couldn't get a hold of him and he wasn't using a phone or anything.
So, that one is taken care of. There is a moment where... There's like a very small arc in this episode where Medavoy does something that really, really bothers me. Where he talks to his wife, and she's a horrid character that I don't like at all.
She's so mean.
And just mean-spirited and terrible and negative and a bitch. And she refers to Abbandando as the whore, and we both said, very rightly, she's the one that cheated.
Didn't he kiss her, though, before they were divorced?
So?
That's cheating.
She was fucking dudes.
Before that.
Before then.
That's true.
And you could say two wrongs don't make a right. However, having a dick in you is different than kissing somebody.
I'm not saying she's like, right. I'm not saying she's right. But then what happened was, I think if I remember correctly, she wanted to work on the relationship.
Like, and he left.
And he left for Donna. So that's why she's the whore.
Which doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. I get that. I get that. I get it. That's all I can say.
But she...
It doesn't make sense to me.
Because we were talking about it. She guilts him for not being there with the kids. Uh-huh. Gets him upset that the kids are acting out. And then blames it on him.
Uh-huh.
And then...
While bitching about the braces they have to afford. And then all she wants to talk about is her fucking, like, new outlook on life.
And then she's like, and we could work it out. Or are you still with the whore? Which is like, I'm sorry... You were the one that had your legs behind your head fucking some grocer.
Yeah.
So I don't know why. Like, that's the thing. Greg is such a dick. Like, I was not on the I hate Greg train until this episode. Because Greg is such a spineless idiot that he doesn't go, hey, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you in your face. Like, I met somebody. I had feelings for them. I didn't do anything. Then I found out you were fucking the grocer.
So the best part is just like, she gives him all this shit about, like, how horrible of a person he is. And then basically goes, but do you want to get back together?
Yeah.
Do you want to work on it? It's like, hey, you're a shitty person. You hang out with a whore. Our daughters are slowly crumbling as human beings because you left us. But do you want to get back together? You want to work on it? It's like kind of weird, right?
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's very weird.
And the thing that made me, like, the thing that really turned it for Greg on, turned Greg for me was when he then goes to Donna and goes, so we might get back together. Are we possible? He opens up with, I might get back together with my wife, but are you still open? Because if you aren't, then yeah, I'm totally going to do it. Like, what was...
I don't think he should have asked her. I don't think I don't think he should have asked her that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay with him trying to find out if there's still a relationship there. Because I think he's trying to make a decision like, I'd rather be with Donna, but I have my kids to worry about. So if there's something can happen... Because Donna left because she needed a break, remember?
Yeah.
So she came back and hasn't said anything. So I think he wants to know, like, hey, if there's still a shot, if you're willing to, like, work it out with me, I would love to do it. But he just asks in a weird and bad way. He should have never been like, hey, I'm thinking I'm going to go back to my wife unless you want to be with me. He should have found out, like, hey, do you want to be with me? And if she says yes, then be like, okay, and then make your decision quietly. Don't make it fucking, you know what I mean? If she's like, no, I don't ever want to be with you again, then I don't know. Then it was just really weird.
It made me really dislike him. And then it kind of leaves with both of them unhappy that he's most likely going to get back with his wife.
Yeah, and no one is happy between the three of them. None of them are happy with that outcome.
No, no.
I mean, I think Donna's over it all. I think Donna's over it. I think she's just like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
You're a weird old ginger man.
I don't think he's ginger, is he?
He has red hair.
I didn't think it was red. I thought it was like blonde.
And he has red pubes.
I don't know how you know that, but okay. It ends with them where James Martinez comes over and is like, hey man, I get to go out with Lesniak.
Yeah.
And Medavoy has the reaction we all do, which is, I don't care.
Yeah.
And then James tries to have a conversation with a man who could not care two shits about what James is talking about. And eventually James just leaves the conversation. Remember? Because James is like, hey, I'm going to go out with Lesniak. And he's like, that's great, James. I'm going to get back with my wife.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, well, you know, just...
I do remember that now.
And then...
I do remember that.
And then he's like, well, isn't that good? And he's like, yeah, I'd rather be with Donna, though. And he's like, I meant for your kids, Greg.
That's true.
So, like, James is a nice guy, but, like, he just... He walked into a conversation with, like, a very, very selfish dude.
Yeah.
Who does not have time for his
to think at all about other than his bullshit with his family.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh.
The other story that's going on is John flags down Simone.
Oh, I completely forgot about this part.
He flags down Simone because he has a big old black eye and tells Simone that him and his boyfriend got jumped. His boyfriend is a cop, and the cop is in the closet.
Mm-hmm. And they got jumped by a bunch of kids for being gay.
And they were paid, those hooligans were paid by a couple of cops.
But how do they know that? I forgot how they found that out.
He said because the cop caught one of the guys and found out. Basically implying that he beat the shit out of the kid until the kid told him.
Until the kid talked? Okay, I missed that part.
So John asks Simone, talk to my in-the-closet cop boyfriend.
Macho boyfriend.
Who wants to kill these dudes for the hate crime.
Definitely the butch one.
And could you do it so he doesn't hurt anybody? And somehow Simone threads the needle of talking to the guy, not getting what he wants out of the guy, then talking to the two cops that did it, and getting them to stop.
Yeah.
By basically saying, I can get you fired. So one of the more bitchy homophobes goes like, well, I don't want to lose my job.
But none of the talks go well. Which is kind of funny.
Yeah, none of the talks
like, talking to the in-the-closet cop didn't go well. Then when he talks to the two guys, they're, like, confrontational and assholes about it.
Mm-hmm.
They mention that he's a fruit, and they used to lock up fruits.
That's the thing. That's what I wanted to talk about.
And did we do that back in the day?
Just lock up gay dudes?
Just, like, if you saw a gay dude, you pulled him over, and, like, your crime is being gay.
Oh, the scene that I wanted to talk to you about with the two cops. Because one of the cops is like an old school homophobe, and the other one is like a new school homophobe.
One of the cops reminds me of what Sipowicz, like, I'm like, that's Sipowicz.
He One of the guys is an old, crotchety piece of shit, probably upset because gay people have rights and he remembers when women didn't.
And he's still working the beat, though. To be that old and still be a beat cop is kind of a weird thing, isn't it?
And it also kind of sucks. Nobody wants to promote you.
Yeah, and you're not smart enough to get promoted. All you can be is a beat cop.
And he said, where did you hear this? In the sheets. And yeah. Simone gets really upset. Yeah. Then he says a bunch of other homophobic shit.
Well, after he says the in the sheets comment, Simone was about to punch him. The other officer goes,
Where did you hear it?
And just to keep the conversation going before Simone gets pissed. Which I think it's funny that Simone so far has been the biggest man that in that precinct or has dealt with cops. The only person that's as tall as him is Lieutenant.
You're talking about biggest in terms of just physical height.
Yeah, he's taller than Medavoy, he's taller than Martinez, he's bigger than Sipowicz, and then all these other cops that he meets, he's taller than them, and yet all these people want to talk shit to him. And he's kind of a big dude too, and he seems pretty confident in himself. He carries himself like he doesn't get fucked with, but people are constantly talking shit to him, which I find so funny.
The guy says, he's kind of cute, isn't he? Caputo. And Simone gets upset again and says, I'm letting you walk out of here.
Yeah.
Is he upset? Is it homophobic that he's upset that he's implying that he's gay?
No, I think he's upset that the dude's being an asshole to him. I think that's what's upsetting Simone more. We learned with Benita.
Uh-huh.
And we learned, you'll learn another... Simone does... Simone's fine when it comes to laying the pipe and feeling confident in his own sexuality, I think. I don't think that bugs Simone at all. Simone knows who he is. Same thing. Andy knows who he is, but if, they called Andy a fruit... I think he would get mad because he has that mindset of being older, fruits are bad, being gay is a bad thing. Where I think Simone is just okay, you calling me gay is not a big thing, but you being an asshole about them being gay, that's the thing that bugs me the most. And you're just a bigoted piece of shit, and that's what I'm pissed off about.
But see, then I think he would have been more mad at the other homophobic slurs and comments, but he was specifically, he mentioned physically hurting them, when they mentioned he might be a homo.
I think he
He might be gay.
I think he was...
why couldn't they say the word correctly?
I think he was upset while they were using those words, but I think the final straw was him being he's kind of cute, and I think he was just kind of that was the last straw for me. He's dude, what the fuck are we doing? If that's all you're worried about, we got a problem, because there's bigger things here. You need to leave those two guys alone, I'm going to kick your ass. I think that's what he was trying to, get out, personally. I don't think Simone cares. Simone's super accepting of John. Simone, when John came down and they were oh my god, we know each other, everyone was kind of that's weird. Simone seems pretty buddy-buddy with him, and Simone didn't care. Simone was oh yeah, I know him there. John was really nice to my wife, blah, blah, blah. And I think, so he doesn't care. I don't think he lets that bother him, personally.
And then Caputo shows up and gets upset with Simone for taking care of the situation without him having to kick their asses. Basically.
Yeah, and then he says something that you mentioned that you thought was kind of odd, where he goes, I have to give up half of my life.
Either way.
And you asked, which was a good point, what half, what is he giving up half-wise?
Well, because I think I realized it a little bit after I said it, the way he sees it, if people find out I'm gay, now suddenly I'm not the son my parents thought I was.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not the man people thought I was. But I get to be myself and be happy. But if I keep this in the closet, then I get to be that guy. But I don't get to be happy with dudes.
But you're still not the man your parents thought you were.
Yeah, you're still not that guy anyway.
You're not going to give them grandchildren because you're not going to fuck a woman. So...
you were just lying to them.
Yeah, so either way... So you're not really losing any... You're not really losing half yourself. Yeah, that was something that didn't make sense to me.
Well, it's trying to write a scene about a guy coming out of the closet, probably written by a guy who's not gay.
Yeah.
So, and I remember I mentioned I thought John does a pretty non-offensive portrayal of a gay person. This episode...
He's very, like, even measured. Like, the only thing I would say that hints that he's gay is how he talks to people.
John?
Yeah. Like, because if you look at that work setting, everyone's, like, pretty gruff and pretty, like... I look at it as, like, they all speak in run-on sentences. And they're all speaking, like, with grammatical errors and, like bad punctuation if it was an essay. Where John's essay is, like, perfect. The way he talks is very, like... Yeah, it's not, like, giving him the stereotypical, like, gay voice, you know? But they gave him the stereotypical, like, clean-cut, pristine, haircut looks good, like, gay persona. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They didn't give him, like... I don't think they gave him... I mean, all stereotypes are supposedly bad. But they didn't give him the more offensive one, which I think is, like, Nick Swartzen playing...
Terry
in Reno 911. They gave him another stereotype of, like... Like Oscar Martinez in The Office. He's clean. He loves, like... That's the stereotype they gave him. So it's not as offensive, but yeah. But John's the best. So they figure it out. Simone's a hero. But that dude's still being a bitch about it. Because he... That dude had... Because there's the problem. That Caputo guy, and I think Simone says it at some point. Like, you have to, at some point, realize within yourself who you are. And then all of this will be better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the guy goes, well, I'm giving up half my life, blah, blah, blah. But Simone's right. Like, that dude hasn't come to terms with the fact that he is gay and that he likes men. He's still in denial. And until he does that, this is all going to be really, really hard for him. And he's never going to be able to fully deal with it.
We skipped over a scene that I just want to mention just for quick... Simone and Russell have a little distrust because he thinks there might be a problem and Russell's super defensive about it.
Oh yeah, about the drinking, yeah.
Which I think only feeds Simone's curiosity and concern. But one of the things that happens is she comes out in just a white shirt and panties.
Yes.
And I mentioned when we watched it, I was like, remember when that was sexy on TV?
Uh-huh.
When it was like, oh, she's in leisure wear.
Yeah, like what's underneath that shirt?
Now it's like... What I said during the time was, now you have to be basically in underwear and given up BJs to be noticed.
Yeah, or to be considered like, oh, she's being sexy in this scene.
And then, but the scene also had that weird moment where Simone goes, I just lost somebody to an illness, I don't want to lose you. And then she says, I'm not sick, and then they just have sex.
Yeah. But, which... That's the build up to the point to show that she really has a problem. Because I think she, like, smooth talks Simone like most addicts do.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of downplayed it to the one that she really cares about. And got him to be like, oh, she might be right, blah, blah, blah. Like, we're being super emotional right now. And, like, it's just me and her. And she's only saying that she's not sick. And she seems to be doing fine right now. So, blah, blah, blah. And then they bone, so then he's not thinking about it. And then when the next episode, he's more of like, well, because she comes and misses the gun from the beginning, he's more like, wait, there's a big problem here. And then it comes into like, why didn't you leave with me? Like, we both had to come to the same place. We both were going to leave at the same time. Why didn't we just like... drive, because they drive separately, obviously, but why didn't we leave at the same time? You know what I mean?
Mm.
And she's like, well, I had to run errands, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, that's in the next episode. But yeah, I think she like kind of like, that's her way of hiding it and kind of getting him to forget about it. Is she wraps it around his wiener.
I tried to see if there were any quotes I wanted to say or anything that I was missing that I really wanted to talk about. And there really isn't, but the Be Fair was pretty interesting when Russ is getting interrogated about being the driver of the rapist. He said, wait, man, and be fair. And then Sipowicz is like, fair.
And Simone's like, oh, you shouldn't have done that.
Fair.
You pointed it out. They did a really good job of doing the good cop, bad cop.
Mm-hmm.
And they just do it, which is so funny. Like, I don't think they even talked about it.
They just did it.
They just, like, kind of come in, and I think they kind of just fed off of what, like, Andy was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Simone just kind of went with it, and it was good.
The other thing that I wanted to mention, when they go to the hospital, there's a kid in a wheelchair.
Uh-huh.
and it's really, really fast. And Simone walks by him and goes, "Hey, champ," and gives him like a high five.
Oh, really?
It's really fast.
That's just build on his character of being an awesome dude.
He was like, "Hey, champ," and was like, "Oh, cool. He's cool." Anything else about this episode that you want to say? The bank dick.
No. It was a good episode. They have a lot of good secondary characters.
A lot of stuff happening.
It's really good.
It's also good for Russell character building because they're gonna have her around for a while.
Yeah.
So it's like,
it's kind of like thinking about it now. Her character arc is kind of like Andy's. We meet her in her darkest place, and we meet. Well, no.
No, we meet her. Well, we meet her
in her like. Part one of her darkest place.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, with Andy, you meet him...
when it's pretty much about
to die. Part three of the trilogy of his dark place. But it's kind of the same thing. Like, you meet them both... you meet them both in bad situations, not in good situations.
But he essentially Jesse Pinkman. He was not supposed to be around that long, but they liked the character so much that they had him become the savior of the show.
That's weird when you say that, to think of Breaking Bad not without having Jesse Pinkman. It was like, then what would the show have been about? Just Walter?
He's the one that feels everything. That's the way I would describe it. Like
the only one that has like an emotion.
Like everybody else like is just so cold and gets worse and worse. He's the guy that like everything bad happens to Jesse and then you feel it with him happening.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What would that show have been about? If Jesse wasn't involved, Jesse and Walt.
It just would have been Walt, and then the more emotional stuff would have come from his family. Or Walter Jr.? I don't know. Dean Norris?
Who was supposed to kill Jesse?
I don't remember. I have to look it up. But he was supposed to die, I think, by one of the drug dealers that they start fucking around with.
In the first season, I think.
But they just kept him around.
Interesting. Anyway.
Okay. Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AstroBrothersPodcast.com, or if you go through Mixed Bag of Hats, you can find it there. There's a bunch of stuff over there, and old episodes of Astro Brothers Podcast on AstroBrothersPodcast.com. We're on Twitter, AstroBrosPod, Instagram, AstroBrothersPodcast. You can email us at AstroBrothersPodcast@gmail.com if you have anything to say about the episodes. Have a good one. Thanks again for listening to the NYPD Blue Balls. I mean, if you didn't listen, there was no reason to make it, so thank you so much. Also, quick little footnote based on when this episode is coming out. CNN aired the first episode of their little series called The 90s, and on it they talked about television, and there was a section featuring NYPD Blue, and they're talking to Stephen Bochco, and they're talking to other pop cultural journalists and experts. Experts? I mean, writers. It doesn't really matter, guys. The point is, they talk about NYPD Blue, the best show ever, so why not take a watch? Thank you. Have a good one. Be good to yourself. Be good to others. Have a great day. And rate and review the show, I mean, if you want to.